Tonight, let's all stand to our feet. We're going to read God's word, and then you guys can be seated for the next few moments. We're about 37 minutes away from 2020. You have made it through another decade. Amen, somebody. Some of y'all have seen more decades than others in Jesus' name. God has been good to you. Amen, somebody. So if anybody ever called you old, be like, no, I'm seasoned, and I've seen the glory of God. Amen. And so, but I just want to share with us from God's word tonight. I want to give us a word just briefly that I think would help us to cross over into 2020 the right way. And it comes out of Colossians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. And I think we got it for you on the screen. And it says this, "For I may be absent in body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are in the strength of your faith in Christ." Verse 6, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." Everybody say continue. "Continue. Being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude." If we can go back to verse 6, it says these words, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." Continue to live in him. Everybody say continue. Continue to live in him. And you already heard my sermon title earlier, but I'm just going to preach on it for the next few moments. I want you to look at the person that you're standing next to tonight. Look them dead in the face and say, "Hey, in 2020, keep that same energy." Find somebody else across the room. I need you to shout them down. Yell it as loud as you can. Say, "Hey, whatever you do in 2020, keep that same energy." Come on, y'all make some noise for Jesus as you go to your seat. Amen. While you're doing so, can you put your hands together for our worship team leading us in worship tonight? Yeah. Keep that same energy. Man, New Year's Eve. For those of you guys who are here for the first time, I want you to know how special you are. This is the first time that we've ever in the history, the 5 years of our church, that we've had a New Year's Eve experience. And so you should feel special tonight. Tell somebody around you, "I'm special." Special, man. Special tonight. We did this just for you. We had you in mind last year. We had you in mind earlier this month. We had you in mind all throughout the course of this year when we were planning this out and preparing for this. And I hope you guys enjoyed the food. Did you guys get a chance to eat? Did y'all enjoy some of the food that was out there earlier today? Yeah, that was good. So, hey, quick shout out. That was made by one of our incredible team members, Rebecca Pritchett. She did an incredible job. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Amen. We have a saying around here that teamwork makes the dream work. And so it is such a beautiful thing when people are using their gifts to advance the kingdom of God and to serve others. And so our church is what it is because people have said, "My life is not my own. It belongs to Jesus. I want to use it to advance his kingdom." That's really what I want to talk to you about tonight, just for the next 34 minutes that we have together, about keeping that same energy. Keep that same energy. Somebody say, "Keep that same energy." I'm having you say that multiple times because some of you guys are starting to doze off a little bit. You know, your sleep cycle is really kicking in right now. You're like, "Pastor, you are a good one because you got me here at 11:27. I'm normally sleep at 7:27. And geez, come on, somebody. Where are my early birds around here? Where are my people who go to bed at 7 o'clock while Wheel of Fortune is still on? It's like, I need a nap." Some of y'all are like, "I need a nap right now." Keep that same energy. I love moments like tonight because I think it captures the essence of what God is all about and who he is and what he communicates to us through his word. Big shout out to all of you guys watching us on Facebook Live. Y'all make some noise for them watching us right now live. Amen. You can share this video right now for those who are going live. They may be at a party right now doing some things, and they may need a little bit of Jesus right now. So help them out. Share that video right now. In Jesus' name. But I love tonight because I think it captures the essence of what Jesus came to do. We just celebrated the Christmas season, how Jesus came from heaven to earth. We know it as the Advent season, and it's all about how Jesus came to save us from our sins. And in many instances, it's about how Jesus came to give us new life and to transform us and to make us new. I love this night because it's always the precipice of us crossing over into the new year. Now, I do want you to understand that there is nothing magical about the turn of a calendar date. Like, you know, you're going to cross over into 2020 in about 32 minutes from now. It does not mean all your problems are going away. It's 2020 and I'm debt free. No. Mm-mm. Sally Mae is still going to come to your door. American Express is still come to your door. But it does speak to something new that I believe that God wants us to experience, and that is this new life in him. But it's not enough to have this new experience with him. I think God wants us to move beyond just having this one-time encounter to now maturing to a place where it is something that doesn't just start, but it's something that actually continues, that is something that's consistent. I was having this conversation recently with our kids, and we're teaching them about respect and manners, and it's literally like pulling teeth right now. It's like herding cats, and it's just bad right now. And you know, you get one right, the other one goes astray. You get that one right, the other two go astray. And it's just pray for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray for your pastor tonight. But I was recently having a conversation with them, and one of our children in particular, and they will go unnamed right now for the sake of their privacy, because I don't want any of you going up to them saying, "Hey, your daddy preached about you. You need to get it together." But one of them has a tendency to ask for things over and over and over and over and over and over again. How many of y'all know people like that? They just keep coming. It's like, yo, chill. I just gave you an answer. And no matter how many times we give this particular child an answer, and my wife, Ariel, she knows exactly who this person is, no matter how much we give them the answer, they just continue to come back, or they're asking for something different. It just constantly and over again. But then I begin to notice something very peculiar about them. That they would put all of this effort and be so consistent with asking for things over and over again. And then they would finally get it. But I noticed something strange. I think it's like a little thing that kids deal with. It's something called gratitude. Did they have a proclivity to ask for a lot of things, but when they receive them, there is not the same amount of intensity in showing their gratitude as in making their request. Parents, y'all know what I'm talking about? Like they're asking you over and over again for something, and then you finally get it, and then they just go ghost on you. They don't utter the two words that you're really looking for: thank you. So one day, my child, who will be unnamed, went into this diatribe of asking for all this stuff, and over again, they're asking for this and asking for that, and they finally got it, and then they just poof, disappeared. And I said, hey, come here for a second. I want to talk to you. Got something to say. Got something to get off my chest, son. Process of elimination. Now you got to guess which one it is. I've noticed that you have a lot of energy when it comes to asking us for things. But when it comes to actually saying thank you and showing gratitude and appreciation for what you have received, you all of a sudden go mute. You all of a sudden have nothing to say. And I find that to be very peculiar, because I just thought that if you really wanted it that bad, that you would actually show your appreciation with just two simple words: thank you. But you didn't. And here's what I need you to do this year. I need you, this is exactly what I said to this particular child, I need you to keep that same energy when you receive the gift and say thank you as you did when you were asking for that gift. Don't all of a sudden go mute on me and act like you don't know how to say thank you when you actually get. I need you to keep that same energy. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? Maybe that's not an example that you can relate to, but you know, you have people around in your life that they have a lot to say about you. They criticize you for all the things that you do wrong, but then you finally get it right and they're not there to say, good job. Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on, player. You were down my back when I was messing up, but now when I finally get it right, you have nothing to say. I need you to keep that. Don't go ghost on me. Keep that same energy, homie. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You have coworkers like that. You have family members like that. Some of y'all, don't look to the left or the right. You may have somebody who's sitting right next to you, and they have a tendency to be very vocal about certain things, but then the other things they're not really that vocal about. And you're like, can you please keep that same energy? Some of y'all quiet because they're like, they're sitting right next to me. I'm looking straight at you, Pastor. I'm not saying amen right now because I got to ride home with them. Need you to keep that same energy. And as we come to the end of 2019, another year and another decade, if you're like me, I think there's been some things that you've been inconsistent with. I think there's been some things in your life that you may have started off January 2019, you know, tomorrow, January 1st, the YMCA, Planet Fitness, is going to be jam-packed with so, this is my year. Where I'm going to lose the weight that I've been declaring and decreeing I was going to lose 10 years ago. This is my year. Then come January 5th. Oh, my nose is running. I can't make it. January 10th, no, my car ran out of gas. January 15th, I had to work overtime. January 20th, my cat got sick. January 22nd. No. Keep that same energy. I think there's been plenty of things that we found ourselves being somewhat inconsistent with. Some things that you maybe stopped, that you ceased. You started off well, but then by the time February rolled around or mid-year came around, you found yourself incomplete. Or maybe there were some things that you were supposed to start this year that you didn't start at all. I want you to know there is value in beginning something. There is value in starting something. But there's also value in continuing something. There's value in consistently continuing down a certain path. I believe that the word that God wants to give us in 2020 for many of us here today, as we go into this new decade and as we go into this new year, 2020, is to keep that same energy. That the fire that you have right now, and that you may accumulate tomorrow or when the clock strikes 12 o'clock, that you would maintain that energy by the end of next year. That you would keep that same energy. In this passage in Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Colossae, and he's writing this under a certain particular thought under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's writing to them because they've been dealing with some false teaching that has been entering into the church that outsiders have been trying to throw the church's way. That believers have found themselves dealing with all these challenges. People are challenging who Jesus was and who he claimed to be as the Son of God, that they said that he wasn't the Son of God. The believers, they're being challenged at the very core of their faith. I want you to understand something. The enemy loves to attack you at your faith. He understands if I can just mess a little bit with your faith, you won't be able to step into what God actually has for you. So he realizes that I don't need to mess with your job, and I don't need to really mess with your finances. Let me just get to your faith a little bit. Because if I can get to your faith, now what happens is you begin to question things. You begin to have doubt. You begin to think on the lies of the enemy. For some of you guys in here, this has been a very challenging year. Now, just like the church in Colossae was experiencing challenges, this year has been challenging for some of you guys. You're here tonight, and you're like, man, I'm here, but I'm really not here.
It's December 31st. I mean, it'll be January 1st in a few minutes, but what does that really mean? My life is not going to be any different. I've had a lot of losses this year. I've experienced all these difficulties and hardships, and for some of you, it's caused you to have some questions in life. It's caused you to ask questions like, does God love me? It's caused you to ask questions like, has he forgotten about me? I see him doing all these great things in other people's lives, but I just wonder, has God forgotten about me at all? Does he really still care about me? You know, I know I did that thing, and I know I sinned sometimes this year, and I lied, and I misspoke, and I was a little deceptive, and some profanity slipped through my mouth, and I drank a whole lot, and I was getting drunk, and I was having sex with people who were not my spouse, and I know I did a whole lot of things, but I was kind of expecting things to be a little bit different this year. But by the time December 31st has come, there are certain things that I was hoping for that have not happened. And it's brought you to this place of asking questions. Like, man, does God even care? What's going on in my life? You started off well, some of you guys. You started off this year ready, motivated. This is going to be the year I go back to school and get my degree. This is going to be the year that I forgive that person. This is going to be the year that I get my finances under control. This is going to be the year that I say yes to Jesus. This is going to be the year that I commit myself to a local church. This is going to be the year that I trust God in my finances and in my giving. This is going to be the year, but then the year progressed and nothing happened. Begin to drop the ball. I found that it's easy to be motivated when things are going well, but what happens when you get hit with challenges? What happens when you experience the loss? What happens when you experience the difficulty? What happens when the challenges come knocking at your door? What happens when the lies of the enemy seem louder than God's truth? Some of you guys are here tonight. Christmas, you went through that season. Thanksgiving, you went through that season. Here you are, New Year's Eve, and you're in the midst of it right now, and you're like, man, I just feel like giving up. Like, yeah, it's going to be January 1st, but it's going to be any different. Like, what's the point in continuing? What's the point in continuing to move forward in the midst of all the things that I faced this year? Some of you guys have experienced crazy situations this year. Some of you all have lost loved ones this year. Some of you guys were fired from your job, and you've still been trying to pay bills. Some of you guys have gotten debilitating health news. Some of you have experienced just difficulty after difficulty, and you're like, man, God, it's I find myself in this hard place right now, and I'm not really motivated. And I believe that you're here tonight not just because it's New Year's Eve, but I believe that you're here tonight because deep down you want to know, is there hope that God has for you? Is there a word that God has for you? And I'm here to tell you that there is a word that God has for you. You know what that word is? Keep that same energy. Yeah, I know you hit some speed bumps this year. I know you hit some difficulties this year. But keep that same energy. That's what Paul is trying to help the believers here in Colossae understand. In verse 6, he says these words. He says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Continue to live in him. Continue to live in him. Keeping that same energy is about continuing. Here's the first thing I want you to understand. It's about continuing to pursue, to persevere. It's about realizing that even though I face some challenges, I am going to continue to persevere and pursue God no matter what it is that I'm up against, no matter how much darkness I face this year. I am going to continue to pursue. Paul says, continue to live in him. I know you've been facing challenges this year, and I know it feels like it's dark, and I know it feels like the walls are closing in, but I want you to continue to pursue Jesus. That's why he says, continue to live in him. Paul is writing to the believers to encourage them to continue on the path that they started. You started following Jesus, and somewhere along the way, you experienced some challenges, but I'm here to encourage you, keep going. Keep pushing. Keep pursuing. Keep persevering, keep pressing in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the loss. Keep believing, don't stop. Keep moving, keep pursuing, don't stop. James says this in James chapter 1, verse 12. I love this scripture. Blessed is the one who endures trials,
Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There was a blessing in persevering. There was a blessing in continuing. There was a blessing in pursuing. Some of you guys have asked the question, I don't know how I made it to this point this year. It's because God's grace has carried you. It's because God has been faithful. Some of y'all got to February and did not have any idea how you were going to pay the rest of February bills, but here you are in December and your bills have been taken care of, or at least on the way. God has provided. He has sent manna from heaven. It translated. He has sent random blessings your way. He has been faithful to you. He has blessed you. He has been good to you. Keep persevering. Keep pressing. Don't stop. There was a blessing in pressing. There was a blessing in persevering. I believe that God brought you here tonight to encourage you. So don't stop. Don't quit. Continue. 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 Persevere. Don't stop. Don't stop. I want you to think of me tonight as your coach, not to stop, but to continue, because God is with you. We preached about that this Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. He's not just with you during the high moments. He's with you during the low moments. He's not just with you when things are going well. He's with you when things are terrible. He's not just with you when everybody is on your side. He's with you when everybody is against you, it seems. God is with you. And because he is with you, you can press through. This is why David says in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil because he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I walk through. I persevere. But Paul doesn't stop there. He not only says to continue to live in Christ Jesus, continue to pursue him, continue to fall in love with him, that this is going to be the year where I pursue Jesus wholeheartedly, where I give him my all. This is going to be the year where I lock into the presence of God. I believe that one of the biggest things and tactics of the enemy that he likes to throw our way, especially those of us who are in the millennial generation, 40 on down, is the word called distraction. Because he knows if he can interfere with your focus, you will never arrive to the place that God has for you. This is why for some of us in here, you can't even focus right now. You're on your phone. You're looking down because there's something that the enemy is ultimately trying to take your eyes off of from God. But God is saying, I got something great for you. I got something amazing for you. You got to pursue me. You got to fix your eyes on me. You got to lock in that if 2020 is going to be a great year, it's got to start with persevering. It's got to start through pressing. You got to pursue. And it does not mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory, but it means that I got to persevere through some things. I can't promise you that 2020 is going to be an easy year. I wouldn't dare say that. But what I can promise you is that God is faithful. His presence is with you. Greater is he who is with you and in you than he who is in the world. Which means you can make it through the dark moments in your life. You can make it when nobody else is believing. You can make it when it looks like all hope is lost. Why? Because you got a God who is fighting for you. And if he was great enough to get his son out of the grave on the third day, God is strong enough to be able to help you get through your loss, to help you get through your struggle. But it doesn't just stop there. Notice what Paul says in the next verse, verse 7. He says these words. He says, being rooted and built up in him. Being rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith. Established in the faith. Rooted. Built up. Established. Rooted. Built up. Established. Here's what I believe Paul is trying to help us understand. That keeping that same energy is not just about pursuing. It's also about being planted. That he wants us to be planted. That I'm planted where God wants me to be. Those words rooted and built up speak of agriculture type of language. And it speaks of a plant and how when it's planted in the ground, it begins to have roots that grow deep and it begins to be to nourished by the nutrients in the ground and resourced. And the thing that God wants us to understand is when you're planted in me and when you're planted in my house, that is when your life begins to flourish. Some of us have been trying to figure out, why is my life not taking off? And I want to ask you, are you planted in the ways of God? And have you planted yourself in the will of God? Have you planted yourself in the family of God? Because there is a blessing in being planted. Psalm verse 1 says this. Psalm 1 verse 3 says this. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Watch this. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted. Everybody say planted. plants it beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season and whose leaves do not wither. Watch this. Whatever he does prospers. That is a promise that God has spoken over your life. When you align yourself with his will, when you plant yourself in the will of God, when you plant yourself in the church, when you plant yourself in the word of God, everything that you do will prosper. I'm not making this up. That's what God's word says. It doesn't mean everything in your life will be perfect, but it does mean that your life will abound with grace and grace and grace and more grace. You will make it out of situations that people are trying to figure out, how did you make it out of that? And the answer will be, because I'm planted in the word of God. I'm planted in my Lord. I'm planted in the word. God has got me planted in him. And because of that, my life is flourishing. Some of you guys have gone through those difficult moments and those challenging moments. I'd like to suggest that some of those moments that you have despised have actually been planting moments. What do plants get planted in? Keyword, dirt. Some of you have been trying to avoid the dirt, the difficulty, and God is saying, no. It is through that that you grow and you flourish. In other words, there are certain moments that God allowed you to go through this year that were necessary for you to become who God has called you to be. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. All things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You have been planted. Planted. And I know it didn't feel like it. And I know it was dark. But God does some of his best work in the darkest moments. God does some of his most miraculous moments in the darkest moments. How do I know this to be true? Because when Jesus was buried in a grave, it was dark. No lights. No nothing. No hope. And from the outside looking in, it would look as if the story is done. That Jesus was defeated. But God was sitting in heaven and saying, no, y'all got it so mixed up. My son was just simply the seed, the firstborn, the first fruits. And what I did was I planted him in the grave, because what would happen is in 3 days, when he would rise, more people would rise with him. Therefore, any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. I want you to understand there is a blessing in being planted. And yes, I know you've gone through some difficult moments. Yes, I know this year has been challenging for some of you. Yes, I know it's been dark. Yes, I know it's not been popular. But I want you to know there is never a season that you will ever go through that is ever wasted on God. God uses everything and he turns it all around for your good. So Paul says, keep the same energy. Concentrate on being planted. Grow where you're planted. Plant your feet down. But then he doesn't just stop there. 2020 is this year where you're going to be planted. Planted in God's word. Planted in God's church. Planted in God's will. Doing things no longer according to your will, but doing things according to the will of God. But I love how Paul ends this here. And we got 9 minutes. And I feel like this is a fitting place for us to end this message tonight. Because Paul doesn't just encourage us to pursue and to be planted. But at the end of verse 7, notice what he says when he says, being rooted and built up in him. After he says, and establishing the faith, just as you were taught. Notice this last few words, and overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with gratitude. Paul's words here speak of the attitude and posture that God wants all of us to have, especially those of us who are Christians, and that is an attitude of gratitude. That we would be a people who are grateful for all that God has done. The text specifically says overflowing with gratitude, meaning that it's active, it's present, it's continual, It's never ending. Can I say it like this? In other words, he's saying, keep that same energy. One writer says it like this, that one of the first indicators of departure from God is a lack of thanksgiving to God. That one of the clear indicators that we begin to drift away and we begin to diminish it a little bit in our relationship with God is we begin to lose sight of all the things that God has done for us. And instead of having an attitude of gratitude, we begin to complain and we begin to criticize and we begin to wallow in defeat. But Paul is encouraging us to have a spirit of gratitude. Why would Paul say this? And why can Paul say you should have the spirit of overflowing gratitude? Because earlier he talks about how Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. How Jesus Christ has created all things. How Jesus Christ, through him, we have been saved from our sins. How through him, God has opened up doors. He's provided. He's blessed us. He's kept us. He's opened up doors. He's healed our bodies. He's made ways out of no ways. God has been good. So Paul says, the least we should do is to be grateful. Or in other words, let me say it like this. We should praise. That's what gratitude actually means here. It means to praise. To praise. To praise. Psalm 113 verse 3 says these words. From the rising of the sun to its setting, let the name of the Lord be praised. Let the name of the Lord be praised. Why? Because Jesus has saved you from your sin, past, present, and future. That through Jesus, your needs have been met. When you look back over January, February, March, all the way till now, you have seen the hand of God guiding every single moment. And it does not mean it has all been perfect. But what it does mean is that a perfect God has been with you, and he's been blessing you, and he's been keeping you. Some of you guys have experienced supernatural healings that are confusing doctors to this day, and they're trying to figure out, we don't know how you made it through this. And you can tell them, it's because my God is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Some of you guys have been trying to figure out, how did you make it through that month, and how, when you didn't have enough money, did you make it through that season? It's because God is a provider, Jehovah Jireh. He is for you. He is making ways out of no ways. He is creating new streams in the desert. Some of you guys have been ushering up prayers to heaven, and God has been opening up the windows of heaven and been answering prayers throughout the course of the year. You have so much to be grateful for tonight, and I think it's a great place for us to stand to our feet and for the next few moments to praise God and to give him worship today for all the great things that he has done. Come on, church. Open up your mouth. Praise him for what he's done. Praise him for who he is. Praise him for what he has done. He's been good to you. He's blessed you. He's been faithful in the face of trouble, in the midst of loss, in the midst of victories. God has been good. So we praise him. Praise simply means to give God worship and to thank him for what he has done and for who he is. So we praise him. We praise him for this scripture in Philippians 1 and 6, where Paul says this, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I want you to know something in here, family, that when we talk about keep that same energy, this is not just something that God is telling you to do. Keeping that same energy is something that God does himself, that whatever God starts, he's going to finish. Whatever God begins, he's going to see to completion. And it may not happen how you want it. It may not happen when you want it, but God is faithful. He's going to do it. He's going to perform it. He's going to complete it. He's going to finish it. He's going to do it. So as we hear this last night of the year, 3 minutes before we cross over into a new decade, into a new year, the Bible says these words, enter his courts with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. In other words, before the people of God in the Old Testament would step in front and step into the temple and step into the outer courts, they would come praising. As they were stepping into a new place that God was wanting them to occupy, they would step in praising. And I think there's no better thing for us to do to end this year and to start a new year than by praising God, than by giving God our worship tonight. So for the next few seconds, I need you to open up your mouth tonight and to begin to worship him and to begin to praise him, to begin to put your hands together, to begin to do great things. Come on, if you know God has been good to you, if you know God has been faithful to you, come on, put your hands together. Come on, sing with a voice of triumph. Come on, open up your mouth tonight. Do a great thing. We got 2 minutes. Come on, scream as loud as you can. Open up your mouth. Shout as loud as you can. Let's say it together, come on. So it is 11:59. We're going to start the countdown clock right now. I want you to look at that clock right there. 50 seconds to God doing something new in your life. 46 seconds, 45, 44, 43, 42, 41. Come on. God is going to do great things. Come on. 2020 is your year. 2020. God is going to do great things. Come on. Come on. 30 seconds. God is going to heal it. God is going to provide. God is going to make a way. Come on. He's doing it. Come on. Let's count down. Let's count down. Here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.